The 1517 Podcast Network works to declare and defend the gospel of Christ Jesus, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins, every day of the week.
The shows on our network are listened to millions of times a year across every podcasting platform, including the world's largest Bible app.
1517 is incredibly thankful for the work of its podcasting host and the continued support of its listeners. This year, as we celebrate our podcast, we're looking for 100 listeners to become reoccurring monthly donors of any amount.
The funds raised by this event are reinvested into our podcasts, allowing us to maintain equipment, hosting fees, and expand our reach through new marketing efforts. You can follow the link in the show notes or go to 1517.org/celebrate to support this show. Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of 30 Minutes in the New Testament. 30 Minutes in the New Testament is a 1517 Podcast Network podcast. You can go to 1517.org/podcast. Check out all the other podcasts that are living over there. And while you're over there, make sure you go to the events page and you can check out the event that we got coming up in October. It's the National Conference, the National Here We Still Stand gathering. Eric will be there. I'll be there. A bunch of other people will be there. All your favorite 1517 people will be there. And a whole bunch of your friends. You might not have ever met them, but they're your friends. You're going to go meet them, and you're going to have a great time hanging out with them for 3 straight days, eating lots of food, listening to lots of talks, listening to a lot of music, and just basking and reveling in all of the fellowship, just saturated with the gospel. It's going to be a great time. You should come hang out with us. All the information is over at the website. Just find that event, or you can click the link in the show notes.
Yes.
Yeah, got to do it. Also, Eric, this week is the 1517 Podcast Network Celebration Week.
Indeed.
Yeah. So what this means is we take a week every year, sometime around the year that the Podcast Network started. We don't use the exact date, but sometime around there, because all the podcasts started at different times. But we have, you know, over 20 shows. If you haven't checked out any of those other shows, you should check some of those out. And what we're trying to do this year, as you know, almost everything that 1517 does is free. But if you're someone who particularly has enjoyed the podcast, if this podcast and other podcasts on the 1517 Network have helped you, what we're looking to do during this week is get 100 people to become monthly supporters of 1517, particularly for the podcast network, so that we can keep on doing all this stuff. You know, we have, there's web hosting, we have equipment upgrades, all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of things we would love to do some more marketing of the podcast, all of those kind of things. And we need support to do that. So if you're somebody, maybe you're a newer listener, and this podcast has been beneficial, would you consider becoming a monthly contributor to 1517? You can go to a link that is in the show notes, or just go to 1517.org/celebration, and you can go and become a monthly supporter of any amount. This is just a matter of how much. It can be a tiny amount. It can be a large amount. Whatever you're able to do, we appreciate it. We're looking for 100 people to do that so that we can keep doing more stuff. That's the goal. We have more things we want to do with the podcast, and we can only do those things if people support. So please consider
doing
that.
Absolutely. Yes, please, 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 and thank you for your support. Thank you for your listenership. Thank you for just taking the time to be with us and listen through as we go through the New Testament. But if you can support us, we would surely appreciate it so that we can continue doing this work and continue getting the gospel out to as many people in as many ways as possible.
And if you're not able, you're like, man, I would love to, I just can't. I understand that. One thing you can do, rate and review the show. That would be a great thing to do. Go over to iTunes or wherever you listen. Give it a 5-star rating. Maybe drop a few words about it. That also helps. So if you can't help out by becoming a supporter, then maybe consider doing that. We would really appreciate it. Maybe share it with a couple of friends during this week. We would appreciate all those things. So thank you very much. All right, Eric, we are in John chapter 8 at verse 21. Jesus is riling up the religious leaders. He's saying all kinds of things that they don't like, basically saying, I'm not the prophet, I'm the Messiah. In fact, I'm God.
That's exactly right. And yes, the religious leaders do not like it. And they want to arrest him, but they can't arrest him for doing things like claiming he's the light of the world and that he's the bread of life and that the people need to eat his body and drink his blood in order to have eternal life. This is all not going over well with them at all.
Telling them that they don't that they're not without sin.
They're telling them they're without sin and telling them that they don't know God themselves.
Yeah.
People that prided themselves on being the most devout all of a sudden are finding out that they are not devout at all in the eyes of God. So we pick it up at verse 21. It says, he said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come.
Well, just tell us how you really feel about it. I mean, here he says to them straight up. I mean, so they want to arrest him. They can't. So we don't know if he said this immediately following this or what, if he came back, circled around, dropped this bomb on him and said, I am going away. You will seek me and you will die in your sin seeking me. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now, this is different. This is different than him telling the disciples, hey, I'm going to leave in a little while. I'm going to a place. You can't go there. This isn't like that. This is, I'm going to ascend to the Father, and you're not going to do that. You're going to have to remain here. You're going to have to establish the church. You're going to do ministry, all that kind of stuff. He's telling them, where I'm going, you're never going to come.
That's right. Yeah, he is making a very clear separation. He's telling them that they're goats, mm-hmm. that they are not among his sheep, that they are at least at present, they are part of the goats. Now, of course, we know that there are some, and we've mentioned this before on many podcasts, there are some that do repent. And the good news is Jesus is able to turn goats into sheep,
yes,
as he does with some of them. But at this moment, yeah, they're set to die in their sins, and they're not going to be able to come to where he's going.
That's right. So the Jews have something interesting to say. They don't understand this at all, apparently.
No, they do not. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says where I am going, you cannot come? In other words, it's like they almost are like, oh, so is he going to hell? Is he going to go to the place of the dead where we are not going to go? Like, they still don't get that he's indicting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they literally think like he's they really do. They really have convinced themselves that he's being powered by the devil or something like that.
Well, what's interesting about this statement that they say, will he kill himself? No, you will.
And they right now, they know that that's what's on their hearts, even if they haven't fully gone forward with it. So he said to them, verse 23, you are from below. I am from above. So Jesus is making a, listen, don't get this backwards, folks. I'm not going to below. That's where you're heading.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to below, but that's not where he's going to remain.
No, no. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And folks, that is basically an indictment of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
That applies to everyone. If one does not believe that he is who he says he is, then the default for humanity being born sinners is that they will die in those sins.
Yeah, this isn't something that happens to you because you don't believe. It's something that you're not saved from because you don't believe.
That's right.
The position you are already in. He comes to save you from that position.
Yes, that's right. So they said to him, and really you could say, they said to him again, who are you?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a decent question. If he says, you know, I told you that unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, this is a good question. Well, who are you? What are we talking about here? Like, who do I need to believe you are exactly?
That's right. And Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man.
Ah, right here you have him saying, I am not going to kill myself, but I am going to be killed. By who? You have lifted up the Son of Man.
That's right. And this is, again, those words, lifted up the Son of Man, are used commonly throughout John's gospel. This is speaking of his crucifixion. You will lift me up. Then you will know that I am he. and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And we do know that, in fact, some people do, upon seeing him on the cross, come to see that he is who he said he is.
That's right.
We do know that people see how he handles that, how he goes through that, and become persuaded that he really is the Messiah. He continues, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus is the only one in human history, before or since, that could ever say these words without his fingers crossed.
That's right.
I always do the things that are pleasing to him.
Yeah, and always is, you know, that always is the thing. Maybe we could, someone could say, I do some things that are pleasing to the Father, but Jesus says, I always do that.
Yeah, this is my my problem with some worship songs or hymns, Dan. They overpromise what the human being can do in response to worship,
yes.
And they make statements that sort of go here, you know, that I'll always surrender, or I'll always follow you wherever you lead. And anytime I'm in a service or
no
come
turning
across
back.
A song like that, yes, I mean, all of that kind of stuff, I feel like I have to sing it with my fingers crossed. Most of the time I just, you know, get snooty and don't sing those words. But the reality is, like, Jesus really is the only one that can say this, folks. Because all of us, for all of our good intentions in the moment, don't and won't always do the things that are pleasing to the Father. And ultimately, that's good news, because it means our salvation is entirely wrapped up in who he is and what he has done, and not based on how well we do.
That's right. Yeah, I remember, Eric, I know you remember this. We were at a worship service once and together, and we were singing, there was a song being sung about all the things that the devil, all the sins that the devil might try to trip you up with in any given 24-hour period of your life. And the chorus said that, but we tell the devil, no, not today. I remember that song playing, and I remember distinctly turning to you, Eric, and saying, I feel like the devil is saying right now, we'll see.
Oh, Dan, I remember the moment very well. And it's true. It's true. And we don't do ourselves any favors when we try to pretend that we're bigger spiritual giants than we are.
Yep.
No. Let Jesus be the spiritual giant, and you just hang on to him. Like, yep. He's enough, folks. He's enough. And what do you know? As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, Dan, there's a couple things here. Actually, a few things that we could go over. Number one, these people are said to have believed in him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as we're going to see, and we already do see from what we've read, there's a belief that they have that is at the very least ill-informed. Because when Jesus tells them, okay, since you believe in me, trust my word, or else you will not be free. Their first response is, what are you talking about, not free? We're children of Abraham.
Well, what's weird about this is, just practically speaking.
Just practically, they're under the oppression of Rome.
Yeah, they're under the oppression of Rome. And
if you before look through, that, the Greeks, and before that.
Yeah, if you look through the history of the children of Abraham, there's been many times that they were not free.
Yes,
and so that's
correct.
Weird. So that leads me to believe that they do understand that he is speaking about something other than just sort of physical freedom.
Yes.
Because that should be an absurd statement if that's what they
yes.
thought he was talking about. Like, we're children of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. You want to talk about not knowing your history? Like, that'd be wild if they said that.
Yeah. No, they're talking about spiritually speaking. They think they've already, they are coming to Jesus believing him as an add-on to what they already have.
Yes.
That's the issue. So, and it is possible that somebody can say, okay, I'll tack on Jesus as mm-hmm. Messiah, to what I already have. In this mm-hmm. case, what I already have is I am a descendant of Abraham, and therefore I'm already spiritually good to go.
Yeah, I'm spiritually free. That's right. And this is why Jesus has to tell them, I know you think that you have all the spiritual answers, but you actually need to abide, that is to stay placed in my word. That way you can be my real disciple. And in doing that, you will learn the truth, and that truth will actually set you free. Not like the freedom you think you have, mm-hmm. which is actually fairly oppressive. So by saying they're children of Abraham, they're saying, we got Abraham, we got the fathers, we got the law, we got it, man. We got the religion. And Jesus is like, yeah, that none of that makes you free.
That's right. That's right. And so Jesus is going to have to hit them with the law. Jesus answered them, verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. And again, Jesus mincing no words. What he means when he says your father is the devil.
Yeah, he's going to get to that in just a second here. I do think this is really awesome what Jesus is doing here, though, because what he says is like, all right, they're like, look, we've never been enslaved to anyone. He's like, man, you've been enslaved to sin your whole life, and so were your fathers. Anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. In other words, look, I'm not here to set you free to some like better religious system or whatever. I'm here to set you free from the thing that no lineage is going to set you free from. The law certainly isn't going to set you free from. I'm here to set you free from the thing that you've never been free from. Neither have your fathers. I'm here to set you free from sin. I am the Son of God, the God who gave you the law. The only way for you to be free of its condemnation, the slavery that the chains that the law has placed around your ankles and your wrists, the only way for you to be free from that is for the Son to say, you're free, to let you go. Like, I'm going to have to break those bonds.
That's right. That's right. And until they recognize that he alone is enough to break those bonds, that they're even in bonds in the first place, mm-hmm. and then that he alone is the one that can break those bonds, well, they're only following the word that they've heard from their father, which Jesus is going to point out precisely who their father is in just a second. As we pick it up in verse 39, they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. There again is an allusion to Jesus's mother, Mary, having him out of in an illegitimate way. You are doing the works that your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual morality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. So they can't bear it. It's too much for them.
Well, they
don't
want
it.
They want Jesus to be a little more equal to them than he is. So they want to say that Jesus is talking all this stuff about their father, about his father. They're like, yeah, 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 Abraham. And he's like, no. They're like, okay, fine, God. Like, we have God's our father too. And Jesus is like, no.
He doesn't let him get away with it. And then he comes out with the hammer. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Woo!
Yeah, what's wild is that he is saying all this stuff to people who are ready to believe in him. And this is a huge check when he's like, all right, are you ready to believe me? Because here's what I'm actually here to do. I'm here to save you from your father, who is not my father. My father is God. That's who you think your father is. I'm here to save you from your actual father, the murderer from the beginning, the father of all lies, the devil himself.
The one who's deceived you into believing that you're just fine on your own, just because of your lineage or just because of your heritage. I'm here to tell you, no, that's a lie, that you need to believe in me in order to be truly free.
That's right.
And yeah, they can't bear that. They don't want to hear any of it because, again, it's going to mess up their whole system. It's a big threat to the way they're used to doing things. So we continue the discourse. Verse 48, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Nadine, I don't know where they get the Samaritan thing from. Maybe it's because, you know, there was rumors going around that he had helped a Samaritan woman. I know, you know, we know that Galilee was closer to Samaria. I don't know where they get the Samaritan thing from.
Yeah, well, it could just be an insult too.
Yeah, I mean, because, it certainly would have fit because they were hated.
Yes, I mean, if someone's saying I'm the Messiah, they're like, yeah, dude, you're a Samaritan. You're more like a Samaritan than a Messiah. That's an insult.
Yeah, that's right. And they bring out the old standby that we've seen before. You have a demon. That's where you get the power to do the things you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're demon possessed.
They had to ascribe something like sort of supernatural to him.
Well, and so you see the superficiality of their quote-unquote belief, right? Like, so on one end, they're said to be believing in him at the beginning of the discourse here in verse 31, because the people he's addressing are said to be Jews who had believed in him. But as soon as they're challenged even a little bit, then they immediately start throwing around the old you're possessed by the devil talk.
Yeah, and once you start saying this, when the guy that you're starting to believe in tells you that your father's the devil, this is going to be a hurdle for you.
No, we're not of the devil. You are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death.
Okay, so this is really good because what he does here, first of all, he says, no, I don't have a demon. He doesn't address the Samaritan part at all.
No, because for him, it's not an insult.
No, he doesn't care about that. Like, so he doesn't say, that's ridiculous. I'm not a Samaritan. Let me go through my lineage and let me tell you just how bona fide I am. Like, doesn't do that at all. He just doesn't care about that. But he does say, I do not have a demon, but I do honor my father and you dishonor me. So what I do to honor the Father, you dishonor me for. But that's fine, because unlike you guys, I'm not even out here seeking my own glory. So Jesus doesn't care about amassing glory to himself. But this is a bombshell right here when he says there is one who does seek it, and he is the judge. So
he's saying God seeks his glory.
Yes. So Jesus says, I'm not here to try to pull a bunch of glory to myself, but you might want to be careful because God is trying to do that.
Yeah, this is totally, totally scandalous. And then when you add the promise on top of it that if anyone believes his word or keeps his word, they'll never see death. Again, it's just a very, very clear statement that in their minds is blasphemy, but in, of course, Jesus's mind is the truth. But in their minds, this is as blasphemous as it gets. He's claiming to be God. He's claiming to have the power over death and life, just like God does. And so it's not surprising that we read in verse 52, the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon.
Yeah, there's the proof. Kind of insanity coming out of your mouth, that's the proof you have a demon. When you start talking about not dying, we know you have a demon because, shoot, even Abraham died. They don't understand that he's like saying that he's like so much greater than Abraham.
Yeah, no. Well, it's unfathomable to them because Abraham was such a hero. And so they continue. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died?
Yeah, he's been saying that for a while now.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he is. And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? I mean, who do you think you are?
Yeah, so this shows you that, like, the faith that they had was like, we're willing to accept you as something, but they weren't really ready to believe in him for who he was saying he was.
Yes, and not for nothing, this isn't all that unusual throughout all of history. Plenty of people have been willing to add Jesus to their team, or add Jesus as a good character, a good teacher, or a good storyteller, or even a miracle worker, or whatever else people want to say about him. It's kind of popular, and I think even still to this day, kind of popular to have Jesus on your side for whatever cause you want to promote. But in the final analysis, Jesus is not interested in being a part of anyone's cause.
No.
Jesus is interested in one thing, and that is people knowing that he is the exact representation of the Father, that what he does is in perfect alignment with the Father, and that he's come on behalf of the Father's will to save sinners, even those who don't know they are ones yet, like the people he's speaking to here. So he continues, Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word." Again, man, owning him.
This is just... it's so awesome that he throws that in there, where he says, look, you don't know God. I know him. You could just leave it there, where he says, you don't know God, I know God. But he doesn't leave it there, and he says, if I went around saying I didn't know him just to make things easier for me, well, I'd be a liar like you.
It's pretty impressive. Again, Jesus minces no words. And he goes even further. In case there was any lack of clarity about Jesus compared to Abraham, now it's abundantly clear exactly what he's saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.
Yeah, so this is like a mind-blowing statement. Like, no, like, who can understand this? So he says, Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. In other words, that he would see me. He did see me, and he was glad. What?
Again, Jesus pointing to his eternal nature here, something that they still are unwilling to pick up on, or just simply cannot understand, because their response to it is, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Like, hey, buddy, you're not old enough to be talking about seeing Abraham. Abraham's a couple thousand years ago. How do you make sense of this? Again, Jesus is trying to point them to the fact, the reality, that he is not of this world only, that he is the eternal Son of God. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Now, this is earth-shattering stuff right here, because don't get it twisted. What Jesus did not say was, I say to you, before Abraham was, I was. That's not what he said.
No. He uses the very term again and again, but this time maybe the most clearly of any time in John's gospel that is used to describe Yahweh, God.
When Moses stands before the burning bush and he asks the burning bush, God is speaking to him from the burning bush, and Moses asks him, who am I to say it is that is sending me to go deliver the people? The voice of God comes to Moses and says, I am.
That's right.
This is exactly what Jesus is doing here. So Jesus is saying, I'm trying to deliver you, and you can't get hung up. You can't get past this whole, God is my father, and that Abraham is not enough. In fact, before Abraham was, I am. He is saying that he is, and you know that they know this because of what's about to happen. He is saying that that voice that was coming from a burning bush to Moses, that was my voice.
That's right. And so, unsurprisingly, the chapter concludes with, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple.
Now, finally, they found something to stone someone for real.
That is correct. And so they are ready and willing, filled with rage, to get rid of Jesus. And now it's just the most evident that it's ever been. They literally are picking up stones to kill him. But Jesus, again, because it's not his time, as John notes many times, is able to slip out of the temple, hide himself, and not have to deal with it then. But so, you know, Dan, we mentioned early on as we were about to enter John's gospel that John has a very theological way of stating things throughout his gospel. And, you know, this discourse, as it's written, is not recorded in any of the other gospels. But one of the things you see throughout all of John's gospel is this very, very, very high Christology, what we call Christology. What all it means is, in this context here, what we mean is we are being presented with a Jesus that clearly and bluntly tells people who they're dealing with. I am God in the flesh. Deal with it.
Yep. That's it, man. And next week, since Jesus has not yet been stoned to death or crucified, Jesus is going to get back in to ministering to the least of these, which is going to be a good turn. So we'll get into that next week. Guys, if you would like to support the celebration of the podcast network, we ask that you would click on the link in the show notes or go over to 1517.org/celebration and become a supporter. We're looking for 100 people to do that. It would be great if you could be one of them. If you can't do that, please go rate and review. We'd appreciate that very much. Eric, I will see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.